I'm Mark Hennick. This is So-Called Normal. Hi, folks. Welcome back. It's Mark Hennick, and welcome back to the So-Called Normal podcast. We've been off for a few months now, but I wanted to bring this back for a couple of reasons. First of all, we're going to have a limited series coming up of 5 episodes in which we're exploring the complexities of treatment-resistant depression in particular, and how difficult it is, the complex pathways that people have to go through, just to recognize that they have something going on in the first place, but then also how they get help and navigating a system that isn't built to help them. So we had an educational grant from Janssen Canada come in to support us in this work, so I thought it's a great opportunity to bring the show back for this limited series of 5 conversations about treatment-resistant depression and the complex treatment pathways it takes to get there. Now, I want to bring in Dave Trafford. Dave is a veteran news director. He's a radio host. He was the editor of, I think, most of the past 60 episodes of this show, as well as the 5 new episodes coming in. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
So you were deep into the weeds of these 5 conversations that we're going to be releasing over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be releasing them bi-weekly, with Aiden's episode coming up next Tuesday. I'm interested in knowing what your big picture takeaway, now that you've had a chance to step back, think about these 5 conversations, really deep conversations that we had, and what stood out to you.
I think, and you and I have talked about this often, is that most of this is going on in plain view, that it's hiding in plain view. And I don't say that anybody's embarrassed by it necessarily, because I know you do get into the whole issue around stigma, et cetera, but it's hiding in plain view in as much as these are folks who are trying to navigate motherhood or being a student or just trying to get to and from work like the rest of us are. But at the same time, struggling with their own mental health challenges. And what compounds that, or what complicates it, COVID-19 aside, is their effort and the struggle. I didn't realize how complicated it can be just to get the kind of counseling or the therapy that would be beneficial. And that in so many cases, there's far more art to this than there is science, if you will, in as much as there's a lot of trial and error. So, and I began, as you were talking to some of them, particularly Aiden, where this is a guy who's going to university in New Brunswick. As he's heading back to school, the thing that struck me most is that is where he feels most comfortable. That's where he kind of settles down, where he finds himself, so to speak, where you would think that it might be the other way around. A kid going off to university, living alone, who's already vulnerable, may find that he is, having more challenges than not. Not the case for Aiden.
No, and I think that, what you mentioned around this idea that people have all these other lives, whether it's as university student or mother or employee or anything else, I think we have this danger of falling into the idea of the mentally ill, in the singular, that's all they are. That's their entire identity, which, of course, that doesn't exist. Nobody is, even if most of their life is consumed by the symptoms of their illness. And that has been the case for, I think, all 5 of the people we talked to at various points in their journey. People like Aiden have other stuff going on too. They've got a full-time job, or they've got a full-time gig at school. And I really liked hearing from him this idea of, or what I took from it anyway, maybe because it was personally relevant, was almost this sense of finding his identity, or finding that self-efficacy, right? That he wasn't living with his parents anymore, even though his parents were very supportive for him, at least tried to be. It was really when he got out and was able to build a life of his own that really started to help him unlock some of his struggles. I think we fall into the trap of thinking that we're going to suddenly find the magic pill that's going to solve all our problems for us. And it's so much more complex than that. It very much is about meaning and identity.
Well, I can also imagine that his mom and dad, and there are all kinds of parents who are sending kids off to campus at this time of year, would be looking at that. It would be very difficult to almost get out of your own way And it seems to me that's what sort of was happening with Aiden, where my response as a parent would probably want to be, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do exactly what you need, I'm going to help you, it's going to be about me now stepping into that process. And it would be very difficult, I would think, for some parents to say, okay, I'm going to step back and let you find yourself in that environment away from me, in some cases isolated from the family. That would be a hard thing to do.
You know, this is such a, I've working as a clinician, I saw this all the time, especially with teenagers. And as they turn in the province of Ontario, it's 16. But then even if you turn 18 or 19, once you reach the age of majority, your parents don't control your life anymore. And it's often a very difficult transition for parents, not for kids, to understand that they don't have control over their kid anymore. They don't have a right to see inside their kid's private matters anymore. And that's really difficult for some parents to say, you know, that they should, or that kid, because they're struggling, that they need their parent to have access to their medical records, for example. But that kid isn't a kid anymore, and they might not want their parents or anybody else to have access to their medical records. And they do have a right to privacy. They have that self-efficacy. Again, they're their own person, even if they're going to make decisions that don't necessarily support their mental health.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that's really struck me about this episode, and you brought it up with Aiden, is the reason that it works for him is because the university community itself provides the support. It recognizes right away that there are Aidens in the community that need that level of support, that level of counseling or therapy or whatever it might be. But there's a cultural approach to it on campus that, you know, gives him the opportunity to grow.
Yeah, you know, it was such a transformative experience for me, of course, when I went to undergrad in particular, because I remember applying, and I only applied to one school, and thank God I got accepted because my grades weren't that good. I had been in recovery for relatively speaking, for about 2 years by that point, I think, 2 or 3 years. And my grades had started to bounce back through high school, but, you know, I didn't, because of the intensity of my struggle in junior high school, I missed a lot of the foundations, I think, that I needed to do really well. So I was passing through high school, and I got a few reasonably good grades, so I ended up getting accepted to university. And when I went away, you know, it was just, it seems cliche to think of it as, you mentioned, you know, finding yourself, and you make a lot of mistakes and you figure things out. But really, I credit that with, like Aiden, coming into my own and getting involved with societies. And that's when I really started to get involved with mental health advocacy in a more structured way. I'd been opening up about it in high school anyway. But it was the college campus, that provided both the safety, I think, to do that, and just enough risk to be able to push yourself outside your comfort zone.
So how much of that is because there's a level of anonymity for you when you go off to university, you know, a new community, new environment, new expectations? It'll doesn't necessarily maybe find yourself, but redefine yourself? Is there some of that there?
I think that has to be key. And I've said this to so many family members. I have a big family. I have 30 plus aunts and uncles, and then they all have dozens and dozens of kids combined. And there's a tendency in small towns, and a couple of our guests were talked about small town living. I'm from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. Nobody ever seems to either want to leave or realize that they can leave. And that was certainly the case for me too. So I tell family members all the time to send their kids away, to get them. There's nothing wrong with Cape Breton. Cape Breton's a beautiful island, but send them somewhere else. It does, and that the same is true wherever you're growing up. Go somewhere else and see something different, because it gives you that opportunity to redefine yourself. And I think that's what this emerging adulthood age is, you know, right up into your 30s, really, is trying on different identities. And maybe it fits for a while, but then you grow out of it and you try on a different identity. Maybe that one will work out. I think we need to do that in order to figure out who we actually are.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be something to watch in the coming months as we see the universities try to stand up again, realizing that much of it will be remote, much of it will be online. But there are, my niece, for example, going to McGill, she wants to be close to campus. She wants to be close to that community. And so she's, you know, not going to take her McGill classes from Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island. She wants to be there. And it will be interesting to see how the university campuses and communities respond to the mental health needs. And I would expect they'll be far more pronounced in the next 3 or 4 months than we've ever seen.
I think so too, but I hope, you know, they're going to, I've always said that mental health care is a supply and demand economy, that it takes pressure on the system in order to grow the system, assuming the system responds to the pressure that it's been under. And certainly campus service systems are going to need this kind of support. I mean, you know, when I went to college, a lot of people don't realize that when you go to college, you have basically not unlimited, but you have pretty comprehensive healthcare coverage. You have health insurance, you have often campus counseling centers and health centers, and there's a lot of resources there for you that everybody else in the community doesn't get. So I hope that people are both accessing those and that they have enough of them, enough of those services there to really help people's need. Anyway, I want to make this just a little normal. Maybe that's what we can call it. What do you think? Should we call these little bite-sized episodes a little normal? Let's do that. Anyway, so that new episode is coming up with Aiden next week. It'll be dropping on Tuesday. And I hope that everybody tunes in. As always, subscribe to the show. Leave us some ratings on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, YouTube, everywhere else. I'll be sharing them on my social media. Dave Trafford has our valiant editor and my co-producer on the show. Thanks so much for your work in bringing these together, Dave, and for having a little normal chat.
Well, glad to be part of the conversation, because I think that it's going to be one that we are all going to have to be aware of, because it's all going to come into what will be a normal life for most of us, whether we like it or not.
So-called normal, anyway. Thanks, Dave.
This episode of So-Called Normal is brought to you by an educational grant from Janssen, Inc. Mark Hennick and the producers of So-Called Normal are solely responsible for the content of the episode, and the views and opinions expressed in this episode do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Janssen, Inc. The podcast content is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition, product, or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have read or seen in this podcast episode.